What the Actual Fork podcast is co-hosted by two intuitive eating registered dietitians, yours truly, Sammy Previtt, owner of Fine Food Freedom, and Jenna Warner, owner of Happy Strong Healthy.
We can't stand diet culture bullshit and love keeping it real. Our mission is for all humans to believe that they are made for so much more than chasing a smaller body. We are also here to share with you that food can be fun and pleasurable again.
Although we are medical professionals, we are human beings too. We are not afraid to share our deepest, darkest secrets and how many years of our lives were taken by diet culture.
We started this podcast so no human has to feel alone in their journey towards food freedom. So get comfy and join us for a casual combo where you can expect to laugh, cry, learn, and grow.
We are so grateful that you're here. So if you enjoy this podcast and want to connect further, we invite you to follow along on Instagram at @whattheactualforkpod and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast so we can continue to share this message with more and more people. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of What the Actual Fork podcast. Today is going to be a very, very specific episode because we're going to talk all things glucose tolerance test for pregnancy. Jenna, you were 2 for 2, right? You passed 2 out of 2.
Yes.
I passed 2 out of 2.
Yes, girl.
And not to say that passing means you're doing anything right or failing means you're doing anything wrong, because I even hate using the words pass and fail. But I do think that we can give our dietitian best practices.
Oh my God, is this a dietitian podcast?
Oh my gosh. Do we talk about food? We do talk about things other than sick children and not sleeping. Rarely. But okay, so
Before we get into that though, I just like put in, I was thinking about this. It's not really my What the Actual Fork moment of the week, but it is kind of like something that we talk about a lot. That I don't even want to say it out loud because I'm sure it'll change once you, there's like certain things when you're a parent, like that you, I just believe like you shouldn't talk about. And like baby sleep is one of those things because it can change so quickly. And like what I'm about to say, I also think is one of those things, but I'm just going to say it and I'm going to manifest the good. But we talk a lot about how like imposter syndrome in general and how I personally feel like I send my husband this text every single week, like I'm just going to quit and be a stay-at-home mom, which there's nothing wrong with that. But like, I also personally feel when I am thriving in work, I am suffering at home, whether in all of the roles that I have at home and vice versa. And this past like couple days, I feel like I've been fucking thriving as a mom and, or just like navigating the storms like way better than I have previously have. And there's a lot of fucking storms and like my work inbox is at an all time high. And that gives me so much stress. My ability to like sit and focus on work and prioritize is like in the goddamn toilet. And my like ability to do both, I just feel like there's this unrealistic expectation out there that like you should be able to thrive at both. And so I just wanted to like put that out there that right now I'm having like a solid mom couple days and my work is just a little bit suffering from it. Still showing up, still doing what I need to do, but I think that that's okay. And I wanted to say that out loud because I do feel this like unrealistic pressure myself to be amazing at both all of the time. But last night when my son was sitting on my lap for the first time ever, we were watching a movie. Like he does not sit for movies. Like it's just his attention span when it comes to like sitting to watch TV or even an iPad is like very short, which I'm grateful for in most senses. But like sometimes you just want to watch a fucking movie and you want like 2 hours of not talking. But like last night, it was, I let my husband do the baby's bedtime and he was sitting on my lap asking me questions. We watched Inside Out, the emotions movie, which is like so perfect for him. And like he was asking me questions and he was into it and we were sitting and we were cuddling and he was way past his bedtime and it was a school night and like all of the things. And I had work that I had planned to do and I put him to bed and I was like, this is what's important. And like being able to be here with him and not worried about the other stuff that I'm supposed to be doing, heavy air quotes, like is what's important. And so I've reframed like being that scale. You guys can't see me, but I'm putting my hands up and down, like the scale that tips when like you feel like you're striving in one thing and like failing at the other. Like it doesn't have to be that black and white. It could be just how you're prioritizing different things in different times. So I just wanted to put that out there. That's how I feel. Now let's talk about glucose tests.
I'm glad you brought that up though, because I think that's a beautiful way to start this kind of episode, because the majority of people that are going to click on this episode are either pregnant or have children probably, or maybe first time pregnant or want to be pregnant and want to learn about the glucose tolerance test. But you know, you only have 100%. You can't be giving 100% in two areas, right? So like, it's so natural for if something is taking up more of your time, and like you said, you're weathering more storms in motherhood, like you're not going to be able to give that same percentage over in your marriage or in your work life or whatever it is. And I think that that is like one of the hardest lessons to learn in motherhood, like before having kids versus then like and then now life with kids, when you're an overachiever and when you're like so driven, you have to just drop. I don't want to say you have to drop that in motherhood, but you just have to be, you have to learn how to get flexible with what goes on. And like, that's kind of like what I hear you speaking to, that it takes time and multiple experiences doing it to get comfortable with it, to celebrate it, to recognize how big of a win it is. So thanks for sharing that.
Thanks for listening. Okay, back to you. Let's do this.
Okay, so the glucose tolerance test is also known as the oral glucose test. You would think by 2024 there was a better way to do this. Like, I truly don't understand it. So every doctor's office is going to be a little different. I know I've spoken to some people who like they give you the drink at the doctor's office and you're drinking it there, versus my doctor's office gives it to me ahead of time and tells me, drink this at home. And like from the moment you finish the drink, we have to draw your blood 1 hour on the dot. So
they really trust you.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, how do you trust that all of these people are going to do this? Like that to me is
mine.
Wild.
I got at the lab. So like the lab is attached to my OB's office, and they sent me from my appointment right with the script, right to the OB, or right to the lab. I'm sorry. And they gave me the drink.
Okay, so then I'm interested to hear for you. So obviously the glucose tolerance test, it's screening for type 2 diabetes, but it is like also screening for just gestational diabetes and pregnancy, right? So for you, when they're giving it to you in the lab, you're walking from your appointment to the lab, are you not allowed to eat before yours? Like, have you ate before your appointment? What does that look like?
Mine, I was allowed to eat. My appointment was at like noon, so I was allowed to eat prior to the test. I drank the Glucola or whatever. I was going to say Glucerna. That's different. Glucola. I drank the Glucola. I got the lemon lime, which I know you hate. I personally think it tastes like a high C Ecto cooler, which is those like green juice boxes that I used to drink as a kid. And I'm still kicking, just throwing that out there. But and then she let me go sit in my car. So basically it was, okay, you finish this at, right now it's 2:23, come back here exactly at 3:23. We're going to draw your blood then. That was that. She also didn't tell me like I couldn't take a walk, I couldn't drink water, I couldn't do any of these other things. And that would be part of like my tips for today when we get to that portion of the episode. But like you said, every doctor is different. I have heard other people say that they had to fast and that they had to sit for the full hour. So this seems like, right, it seems like a little unregulated to some extent, knowing that there are like different rules or there's not like one standard set of rules for all practices, but that's here nor there. Okay, I know that I've said this before, but honestly, and I swear to you, I have never had a better heat and eat, ready to eat meal than from Factor.
That means a lot coming from you.
Right? Doesn't it?
Because you try so many different products. Like, I feel everything. Like I come to you for anything like this that I need to know about.
This is my ideal type of product. So I am a mom of two, super busy. I love quick balanced meals. I'm looking for things that have like lots of flavor in them and with a ton of variety. And like, honestly, Factor fits all of those bills for me. And I swear to you, I tried the, I think it was the Greek plate the other day. It's like pasta and feta and chicken, and it had a side of vegetables, and I mixed it all together because, you know, I love everything in a bowl, but there's no prep. There's no mess. I mixed that all into one bowl after heating it up for the 2 minutes. And honestly, it was the most delicious and satisfying meal that I got to eat without disrupting like the flow of the night. And now that I'm like in two different bedtime lands at nighttime, like there needs to be some flow at dinner so that we can get these kids to bed on time. And I am just so grateful for Factor meals for this reason, and for also the fact that my husband likes them too. And we don't have to eat the exact same thing, but we're both enjoying foods with flavors that we like.
I love it. It's a win-win. It's self-care. It's nourishment. You better believe I am getting more before baby number two comes and just filling my entire freezer. So if you want to try Factor Meals, you can head to factormeals.com/fork50 and use code FORK50, that's 50, to get 50% off. That is code FORK50 at factormeals.com/fork50 to get 50% off.
And wait, before you go, honestly, one thing I have to add about this is that we've done the math and Factor is less expensive than takeout, which I'm all for takeout here and there, but like this is available in your fridge and ready for you. And all of the meals are so delicious and nutritious. You guys have to try.
This is great that we have, you know, you've done it twice. I've done it twice. We'll give our experiences with the rules that we've been told from our doctors and the ways that, like, as a dietitian, I'm using my dietitian brain to set me up for the best possible success. There was still a very normal, regular chance that I could have failed it. And again, if you do fail the test, it's a positive thing in the sense of like, your body is finding out something that it needs to find out. And if you do have gestational diabetes, you want to know that so you can care for your body with medical nutrition therapy and, you know, do what you need to do, what's best for you and the baby.
And it doesn't mean, which I think a lot of people don't understand, it doesn't mean because you have gestational diabetes, it doesn't necessarily mean that A, your baby will, and B, that your baby will be diabetic, or B, that you'll have type 2 diabetes after delivery. But there is a higher chance for both of those things, both of those outcomes to happen. And there is an even higher chance of those outcomes happening if it's unmanaged during pregnancy. So there's a lot of, and I know that's not the point of this episode today, but we did just record an episode about some wellness culture that is giving out poor information. There's a lot of mom culture and pregnancy culture out there in that crunchy realm telling you to skip this test and telling you that it's toxic or not good for you or blah, blah, blah. And I would just tread lightly and use caution when you are listening to those types of posts, because the reality is that unmanaged and untreated gestational diabetes has much higher risks for your unborn baby and for you.
Yes. And I always giggle when I see people like demonizing the glucose drink, because I'm like, have you ate an acai bowl? Because if you have, you've had more sugar in one setting.
Or that Erewhon smoothie.
Right. Or the Erewhon smoothie. That like those things are deemed great by diet culture. And they're probably double the amount of sugar that you're going to have in this glucose drink. So it's like, it is so like silly when we really break it down. So,
giggle and silly, I think, are two of my favorite words right now.
I love it. Silly, so silly. Okay. So because I just did mine like a week or two ago, it's fresh in my mind, and I'll go over the parameters because they sound a little different than some of the things you said at my doctor's office. And again, you're going to want to make sure like whatever your doctor's office tells you, like, please go by your physician, the directions they give you, like it's that way for a reason. And you're going to want to do the test as accurate as possible so you don't have to redo it. So again, my office gives me the glucose drink and they say, okay, at your 28-week appointment, you're going to drink this, you're going to come in, and we're going to test you at the 1 hour mark. Now for my directions, I was told I am allowed to eat before. I am allowed to move my body. I don't have to obviously stay seated if I'm going into their office, but I am not allowed to drink anything or chew gum once I finished the drink. So like as soon as my drink was completed, you're not putting anything in your body until they draw your blood. That's what my direction said. So that's what I did. So in my head, as a registered dietitian, I'm thinking, okay, well, they're telling me that I can eat before this. So in my head, I'm like, all right, well, I got a nice glass of glucose here with this glucose drink. I'm going to pair that with a high protein, high fat breakfast that is going to help regulate my blood sugar and go on my merry way.
What did you have? So,
over the past, my past two glucose tests, I ate a omelet with avocado, and I think I put some bacon in there. Let's be real. It wasn't me. It was my husband who cooked it. And I ate that and like, you know, digested whatever. And then not long after, a few minutes later, I drank a lot of water that morning, which I always do as soon as I get up, especially with pregnancy. I'm always drinking a lot of water. Drank extra knowing I wasn't allowed to have any water once I took the glucose down. Then I took the glucose down, went on my way to the doctor's, and my doctor's office is in a hospital, so, as most probably are. So it's a very big parking lot. There's parking garages. So I always do this when I go to my appointment because I don't engage in a ton of intentional movement. So I like to just walk. So for me, I park, I always do this kind of far away. I always take the steps up. So I was just kind of enjoying like a 10-minute stroll, 15-minute stroll into my appointment, sat down for the blood draw, and here we are.
Amazing. My doctor is not in a hospital.
Sorry, I was going to say for summary, my two biggest tips I give people, because like, for example, I actually got a text, I can pull it up right here, from a friend who her glucose test is this coming week. And she said to me, you can cut this, I apologize. So she said to me, hey, for your glucose tolerance test, did you take out sugar a couple of days before, a week before, or more, only the morning of? Now, please keep in mind, this is a friend of mine who has like no nutritional background, right? And she's coming to me wanting to know, like, what are your tips? Which is exactly why we're doing this episode. And I said, my only recs would be day of, include a high protein fat breakfast along with your glucose drink. If you're allowed to, get your normal steps in, maybe a few extra steps as you walk into your doctor's office. So my biggest tips are high protein, high fat breakfast along with your glucose drink and a little bit more movement and go on your merry way. But you do not need to be doing, and I would like to hear your thoughts, Jenna, you do not need to be doing anything days, weeks before this test. This is a day of test where you can do, and again, I'm not even really doing anything differently. I think like everything's pretty normal, but you should not be cutting out sugar a week before this test or even the day of. It is National Nutrition Month, and as two registered dietitians, we get asked all the time questions about supplements, what to look for, and we love to utilize AG1 to showcase the certification that should be on your supplement if you are consuming it, and it is the NSF Certified for Sport certification, which AG1 does have, along with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients. That is something that, and Jen, I would love to hear from you how many times you get from people them like screenshotting supplements and none of it's regulated. And it's, I think that's like one of the biggest misinformation bombs in the nutrition space is people not knowing what to look for.
And I think what's so interesting, because I've shared this before, like Jenna Warner, reached out to somebody once to make my own supplement. Like anybody can make their own supplement.
I remember that.
Right? I did. I did all the research and like all I had to do was pick things pick what I wanted in it. I had to describe what I wanted it to be. And then a factory makes it and then sends it back to you. But I'm not at that factory, right? So that NSF label is so important because that is a third party that is verifying what is on that label is actually in the bottle. It's like somebody being at the factory there with you to make sure that the product is what it says it is so that it does what it says that it does. So if you are interested in giving AG1 a try, you can try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/fork. That's drinkag1.com/fork. Check it out. We had a client once in our practice who, I don't know if she was higher risk or I believe she failed her 1 hour. So she had, was sent back for the 3-hour test and was given a meal plan from her doctor's office to follow that was very high sugar and high carb to see how her body reacts to that. And it's just interesting. I was reading it and I was like, don't do this. this doesn't make any sense to me. But there was obviously a reason for it. And it was like, yeah, like the sample breakfast is like a large cup of fruit juice, 2 slices of toast, a large bowl of cereal with a large cup of milk and a large piece of fruit. So like all carbs.
You had to eat that before going in.
For 3 days prior to the test. Prior to the 3-hour glucose tolerance test. So I think my point in sharing this, I'm just looking at the form from the doctor's office now. My point in sharing this is when you are going in for your test, if you are concerned at all, the most important thing is to talk to your doctor's office about what the parameters are so that you can set yourself up for the best outcomes, like you were saying, because every single doctor's office is going to be different and every single pregnancy is going to be different. Like we may not know if there's like part of your previous medical history, your age, you know, your pregnancy in general that might require movement before or no movement before, eating before, not eating before, whatever it is, that could be part of the reason why they're telling you to do some of these things. So this is not medical advice. These are just recommendations. And you should absolutely talk to your OB for what's best for you. But for me, the only thing different that I did was my doctor told me, like I said in the beginning, I was given the drink in the lab and I was sent back to my car, or my doctor's office is right next to like a specialty grocery store. I walked the grocery store in that hour in between. So she sent me back to my car and said, you know, just be back here within an hour. You do not need to do anything specific, but they're basically... She said not to eat, but that water was fine and I could take a walk because I asked. So I did both of those things. I drank water and I walked to this grocery store. And prior to the test, my test was at noon. I took a workout class that morning, I remember. And like you said, had a higher protein breakfast, higher protein, higher fat breakfast. Now, that being said, the other piece of the glucose test that we haven't talked about yet is understanding that anxiety and stress impact your blood sugars. And so a lot of people fear this test for many reasons, lots of reasons that we don't even know of, right? But what will happen if you don't pass it is that you go back for that 3-hour test. It's not the end of the world, right? But going into it, being scared of it and fearing like the outcome of failing, which is totally valid. And I'm not telling you not to do that, but please know and understand that your stress and anxiety and cortisol and, you know, your hormonal reaction to stress will impact your blood sugars. So maybe during that 1 hour prior to going back to get your lab draw or your blood drawn, maybe you sit and you listen to a meditation. Maybe you sit and listen to your favorite music. Maybe you sit or take a walk and listen to our podcast, or a podcast, or read a book, or do something that is de-stressing for you so that you have the best possible scenario of not having stress impact your blood sugars, because that's a huge piece of it too. So whatever your grounding techniques are, whatever your stress management techniques are, making sure you do that in the morning prior to the test, and those like in real time strategies that you do, whether it's breath work or listening to your favorite music or saying your favorite mantra in your head or out loud, whatever it is, doing that is super, super important and a great way to really enhance your outcomes and scenario.
I love that. I love that. And I think it is so wild to hear like how, even just between you and I, how different the parameters are.
It's like not standardized. That makes no sense.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking about if you had someone that was told to fast or they weren't given any advice, right? And let's say they just had a high carbohydrate breakfast by chance or by choice or whatever it is, and didn't drink water and didn't move their body and drank this glucose on top of it. Like it's gonna affect your blood sugar differently. Like it just is. Like we know that because of how like macronutrients work in the body and blood sugar. So it's so interesting to hear that.
A little flaw in our healthcare system. What a shock.
What a shock. But I think that, like you said, these are just strategies. It's not medical advice. It's by no means something that you have to do, but these are just things that as two moms who are just trying to utilize our time as best as possible and utilize the bit we know about nutrition, these things can hopefully be helpful. And like you said, ease your mind going into this test.
And so the second half of this too is, I don't know about you, but after the test, like after the blood was drawn and I was sent home, you know, there's a couple of things that happen like physiologically in your body. It's A, you just drank 100 grams of sugar, right? Or glucose. And so and then we're told not to eat anything afterwards. So that is raising your blood sugar and allowing your body to do its thing to manage it and bring it back down. But that work is a lot of work on your body, right? Like that's why we don't necessarily recommend eating 100 grams of glucose in one sitting by itself, like often, because myself personally, I felt like very shaky and dizzy after that test. So I remember when I was walking that grocery store, I picked up a couple like higher protein snacks. I think I got some cheese sticks and a protein bar that I could eat afterwards, like after the lab told me I was free to go home, because I remember like not wanting to drive home feeling the way that I felt. So understanding too that body response is normal. You're also, if you are stressed about the test, you're also like going to release some of that stress after the blood is taken too, which can cause your body to kind of like come down from that high stress reaction and like maybe get back into that rest and digest state. So that combination of your body bringing down the blood sugar in addition to not having eaten anything else, maybe if you were told to fast, not having eaten anything at all, plus the decrease in stress for yourself, like once it's over, is probably going to make you feel a little bit off. And so preparing yourself and bringing some snacks with you or a meal or a sandwich or something that works best for you, or having a plan to do so for afterwards, I highly recommend. You don't need to cut carbs the rest of the day or ever, but making sure that you are eating more protein in those like next following meals and snacks is going to help a lot to help you kind of like get back onto your normal path for consumption, and drink a lot of water to help flush it out.
Yes, totally. Totally agree with that. And for me, like how I wasn't allowed to drink water after I finished it, I like had to like tape the straw because like, I'm going to fucking forget this and be like driving there. And so like, and you know, being pregnant, you're just like always thirsty
all the time.
So I like brought my water bottle in, but it was like taped because it was like, as soon as I was done, I was like, I want to drink this like right away, and like brought a high protein bar with me as well. So that's a great, great thing to acknowledge too, is like the after. And I like how you said you were shaky after that. I didn't necessarily get that with my test, but I like, the reason I brought up an acai bowl earlier is because I remember, not pregnant, one time eating an acai bowl. It was probably like first thing in the morning, And like, I didn't ask for honey on it, but you know how they put like granola, honey, fruit, the basis of it is blended fruit. Like this thing had to be 200 grams of carbs, like at the end of the day, like when you're really looking at like, cause you think about how dense granola is and then like honey, it's so easy to add up. So I think about like just normalizing that for people of like, you have ate this much sugar at one point in your life. Before, like,
how about when you go out drinking? If you have like three glasses of wine,
yes, or if you've ever gone to like a celebratory event where you had like a really large decadent slice of cake, and maybe it was after a meal that had carbohydrates, like an Italian dinner. I don't know. Like, you've had 100 grams of sugar or carb like in your life in one sitting before. So I think just like normalizing that, because it's a medical beverage, we feel chug. Like it's like scary, and it's like,
and you do have to chug it, or at least I did.
I literally in my kitchen went down, up, down, here we go, because I'm gonna fucking choke this lemon lime, because like Sprite is my throw up drink. I feel like I've said that before on the podcast, but like the 2 years ago with Sienna, they gave me fruit punch, which was delicious. It just reminded me of like high C, but this one was like Sprite, except like not, you know, what carbonated. And I was just like, I did not like it.
I loved but it.
I got through it. So.
I'm so proud of you. And congratulations on passing.
Thank you. I think I passed. They never told me, but I went into my chart and I like looked at the reference range and where I was. And I was like, okay, well, I hope they would have called me if I failed. And this is within the reference range. So
you're good.
They're clearly in no rush to That's tell me so anything. Funny.
If you guys have questions on this, please let us know. Also, just please know again that if you do fail level one, the 1 hour, you will be sent back for a 3 hour, and the parameters and the recommendations will probably be different. I don't have any experience in that or what that is, but I would definitely ask the questions about what you are allowed to do and what you are not allowed to do prior to that 3 hour one. And if you are able to implement some of the things that we've recommended here, that would be recommended in general, for that test as well. And I think this should be our next topic, because we've talked about it a little bit, but now that I'm like really in it, I want to just add in, cause I'm looking at myself in the camera right now, but like, look at that postpartum hair loss again. Like, I've done all the things this time around to prevent it now that I know better, but like, I am, wow, like it's going. And there's nothing wrong with that. And my point in saying this is that you can do all of the things and your body is still going to go through all of these hormonal shifts. And it's telling us something, and you got to ride the wave.
I totally agree with you. And I think it's, you know, it, like I said at the beginning, if your body, if for whatever reason you do not pass the first time around, it's neutral information that your body is giving you. And it's important that you go back and complete the testing, because like you said, you want to know if you have gestational diabetes, you want to do what's best for you. You want to do what's best for the baby. And again, that's where working with a dietitian, if you do fail all of them and come back with that, you know, working with someone who can help you manage your blood sugars without fear mongering, and doing it in a way that's going to make you feel nourished and fueled, both for yourself, for baby, is totally possible. So that's just our big sis advice on the glucose tolerance test.
From one mom of two and one mom of one plus pregnant again.
There you go.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of What the Actual Fork Pod. We know there are a lot of pods out there, and we are so grateful that you are here listening with us.
So if you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to subscribe, like, share with all of your friends and faves, and don't forget to rate and review and let us know what you want to hear more of. The more we hear from you, the more that we can make these episodes exactly what you want. We would also love to connect with you on Instagram at WhatTheActualForkPod.
We promise to continue to bring you the hottest topics, greatest guests, and the most fun you can possibly have fighting diet culture bullshit. We love you, we appreciate you, and we will see you next week for more fun.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.